The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Now, as usual with Locked and Loaded, we talk about Second Amendment issues. We talk about guns. We talk about restrictions on guns, which seems to be happening more and more. I read today that California has basically put a hold on issuing any more carry permits, even though the court systems tend to be leaning towards people who, shall I say, want to, you know, have a shall issue state, meaning if there's no reason why you shouldn't have one, you should be able to get one. And too many states now are trying to pull back on that and say, we don't believe, in our opinion, you should be able to have one unless we agree that you have some express need or some explicit difference in opinion, you know, or special needs or something like that. Basically, if you can prove you need it, then you have it. So basically, you're guilty until proven innocent, which is ridiculous because the Second Amendment clearly states shall not be infringed. It's very clear. It's very straightforward. It's one of the shortest of the first 10 amendments that were written. And it was short and concise for a reason, because it was not meant to be a source of any confusion in the future. And unfortunately, too many people take from this that, oh, well, we have to restrict this, we have to restrict that. No, absolutely not. Shall not be infringed. Now, the only thing I do agree with strongly is that people who should not be allowed to own guns, ex-felons, people who are not citizens, people with a history of domestic violence, people who violate the law in some way that would restrict their citizenship, they need to be checked and made sure they don't have access to guns. But if you're a law-abiding citizen and you have no reason, and you're a, you know, if you're an upstanding citizen and have no reason to put you in a category where you are not able to exercise all your rights equally, then you should be able to have a weapon if you want one, or at least get a permit to carry one. Whether you carry or not is up to you. But to be able to get the permit, now a lot of states have eliminated the permits going with constitutional carry, but let me take this for a few minutes. This is what I wanted to get to. Okay, if your state has constitutional carry, means you can carry your weapon without having a permit. And it is perfectly legal. They're saying constitutional carry as in the U.S. Constitution grants you the right to keep and bear arms without restriction. So they use this as a way to basically keep from having to issue gun permits. Now, a lot of states still issue these permits if you want one. And there are reasons to have one. One, if you get stopped, you have a weapon with you. If you have your weapons permit, whether it's required or not, it offers you, I guess, a level above compliance or ability to show that you're a responsible gun owner, that you have your permit. Now, I'm not saying you're irresponsible if you don't have one, but it just makes a policeman say, okay, this guy took the extra effort, this woman took the extra effort to get the permit to show that she respects the law and she's going to do the right thing, which is great. To me, that makes a bit of a difference. They see a pistol permit, they usually assume you're a little bit more of an enthusiast, or you want to be sure, clear cut, that you're within the law. And another big reason, reciprocity. If you go to other states that don't have constitutional carry but do have reciprocity with your state, if you don't have that permit, you can't prove reciprocity with that state because you don't have a permit with them, and they only honor carry permits. Now, all states, of course, with constitutional carry will probably honor that in other states. However, I think we're only up to 25 or 26 now states that have constitutional carry. So that means half the U.S. doesn't have it. However, I know with a permit from my state, I have reciprocity with, I think, almost 30 some odd states. So I gain more states of reciprocity by having that permit. So it makes a difference. If you do a lot of traveling with your weapon, it's always better to have the permit. It just makes you look like you're more responsible, more professional in the way you're doing things, and it's probably more helpful to you to expedite any kind of stop that involves a weapons check of any sort, or if you happen to be in a situation where you had to use your weapon, whether you had to shoot or not, whether you exposed it, you know, drew down on somebody, whatever. It makes you look as if you are more responsible, more well-versed in the law, and you have more respect for the law. A third reason to get a permit when you don't need one. It makes background checks go a lot faster.
And it pisses off Democrats.
Yes, and you always want to destroy anti-gun liberals if you possibly can by making them... What, just scream in agony as you buy yet another gun?
Another gun. And you can walk in and show your
yes. Most states, if you have a permit,
and your background check's already been done.
Right, and it's been done to a higher level.
To a higher level, yeah.
Than has a standard state-run background check, because you have an FBI background check when you have a pistol permit in any state that issues them.
Yes, they will give the full definition of anal cavity search. I mean, they are, they will investigate you, folks.
Well, not that, and also, I'll tell you another thing. I got my TSA pre-check redone, and I think because I had the pistol permit in my name, that made it go faster. That may not be a fact, but it seemed to me like other people who didn't have it took weeks to get it done. Mine took a matter of days.
I think you're right, Roger, because the same thing happened to me. Not only did I get the TSA, I got the clear check also, and it went through like a snap of a finger.
Instantly,
I think it's because, and I've actually, by mistake, pulled out my gun permit at the airports before.
I've flown with it before.
And they have to. I mean, it's a federal, state issue, not federal.
Now,
a state issue.
The airlines can accept it, but TSA doesn't have to.
They don't have to because they can demand
but
a federal ID.
But they did in my case. Yeah, I had that.
Too.
I had credit cards. They let me fly because I left my license at home. Dumbass.
But hey, one time you left your passport at home, so.
Yeah, but I got that before I flew, obviously. But no, that's not, I was making a copy of it for somebody. I left it on the printer bed at home.
Wow. Hey, it pays to have that permit in many ways because like I said, I've been in a situation in the airport where I used that
permit
ID.
For state ID. Yeah. Now, another thing is another little trick I learned. Take pictures of your driver's license front and back. Take pictures of your permit front and back, your passport. At least the main page, and keep those on your phone.
Yeah.
So for some reason, you lose that information. You have copies of it on your phone. Because you may lose your wallet, you may lose your ID, but you will never lose your phone, hopefully.
Right, hopefully.
Those people value that as a source of information and identification more than anything else. So that's crazy. But that's why you want to get a permit. Okay, Victor, now that you're here, I'm going to get into my next giant story that I am shocked.
Uh-oh.
And awed at this story. I cannot believe this is happening in my beloved United States.
Uh-oh.
So a man in New York was indicted for building and possessing rifles and pistols.
Now, he
did this on his own. Mm-hmm. He built his own weapons, didn't sell anything, was not involved in any kind of gun trade or trafficking or anything like that, had a perfectly clean record.
Did nothing illegal.
Nothing illegal, nothing the Constitution is very clear on, and the ATF is very clear on.
Mm-hmm.
And during COVID, he said, you know what? I was home a lot.
Yeah.
I started doing some reading. I was doing some research. I thought, you know what? I might like to build some guns.
Yeah.
I was a machinist.
I'm an American.
I'm
protected
a machinist.
By the Second Amendment.
I can do something like that. So he did this. He started getting into the hobby, and somehow they tracked shipments that were going to his house, and he had about a dozen weapons he had built. Most of them, however, were unfired, as he wasn't really a shooter. He just liked the idea of building things.
So are you telling me they were spying and monitoring him without a warrant?
I guess so. I don't know how they discovered, unless his neighbors turned him in or something. I don't know how that was.
If he wasn't turned in with some stupid red flag law, then if they were monitoring him, they probably used FISA. And this is a reason why FISA needs to be completely revamped. But go ahead, Roger.
Okay. But anyway, so they goes in. Now, his lawyer goes, okay, this should be a pretty easy open and shut case because the Second Amendment, the ATF, all go with this. And he's a software engineer, by the way. That's his trade. That's what he does. This is just a hobby for him. Like I say, he's never sold anything. He just discovered it and decided, I want to do something with my machining skills. So he turned, he was using it just as a hobby. That's all it ever was. But the ATF NYPD task force discovered he was legally buying parts from various companies, and they opened up an investigation that led to a SWAT raid and arrest.
But what was the investigation based on?
It says he was legally buying.
There was nothing illegal.
No. And he is currently jailed on Rikers Island, one of the worst prisons.
And isn't this the courtroom where the judge said?
Oh yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh yeah. So his lawyer figured, okay, this is a pretty open and shut case. He has the rights. The ATF is on our side. Mm-hmm. So he goes into the courtroom. He's making his opening statement, talking about the Second Amendment rights. And the judge in the courtroom stops him right there and says, this is New York. The Second Amendment does not exist in this courtroom.
God,
I thought, no way. That's got to be an April Fool's joke.
How is she still a judge?
She should be brought up on charges. She swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. And here she is.
Not just the New York Constitution.
The federal Constitution. The national Constitution. Yeah. She's denying this man rights that the Constitution grants him.
100%. And I hope, this is where the goodness of Americans need to come out. Any constitutional lawyer out there in New York needs to team up with the existing lawyers for this guy. They need to do it pro bono. They need to do it because America depends on this. And they need to get this appealed. They need to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And then they need to figure out a way to unseat this judge.
And she interrupted him multiple times during his opening statement. Whenever he mentioned the Second Amendment, she shut him down, stopped him. She interrupted his opening statement.
She's not a judge. She's an activist.
Right. And she was elected to a judge seat. Yeah. And there's no reason. She's not performing her job properly. She is violating the law. She needs to be brought up on charges.
They can be removed. They can be removed, but a Democrat's not going to do it. Kathy Hochul is not going to remove this judge. But that's the New Yorkers. This is on New Yorkers.
But how could they possibly do that? I mean, that's breaking, violating federal law.
That's emboldened, Roger, how emboldened the Democrats are today. Listen, Roger, you've got students standing with a terrorist group on college campuses, and you've got a Democrat party that won't call them out because they're actively campaigning to those terroristic students.
Right, and they want to get the votes.
They don't care about the Constitution or the American citizen.
I thought, how can this possibly be in our country? Could you imagine walking into a courtroom and they say,
don't have a right to free speech?
Or you're getting arrested and they don't read you your Miranda rights.
Right, no Miranda rights.
And say, Miranda rights don't exist in this courtroom. Yeah, could you imagine that happening to you?
If she gets away with this in New York, how soon is it gonna be when she says
the First Amendment
doesn't work here in New York?
That's right.
Because they're already, the Democrats would censor you to death if they could.
Right, most people think that they support free speech, but the liberals do not.
They only support
speech that they agree with.
Not today's Democrat Party. Today's Democrat Party is an authoritarian wannabe party.
And there's probably some good ones in the Democrat Party. I won't say all of them are, although I have to say the Democrats tend to stick together better than the Republicans do. The Republicans tend to be a little more independently minded when it comes to certain ideas. And I've noticed that. Yeah, the Democrats seem to be in lockstep on everything, every idea, and they seem to be able to hold together better. They seem to be able to bring a message across united more so than Republicans do. And that's maybe something that Republicans would need to work on. Maybe they can get to the point where they can come to agreements on things. Like with right now, Trump is running. We all know he's the front runner for president right now, considering Sleepy Joe barely knows where he is or what he's doing.
Yep.
You know, and it's sad. I mean, it's not his fault. He's sick. He doesn't know. He needs to be in an assisted living home that's not in Washington at the White House. There are other assisted living places other than, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
when did the White House become an elderly home?
I know. I understand, it happens. It can happen to anybody as you get older. It happens. And I understand, but he needs to be taken care of, not put in charge of anything.
I mean, look at him, Roger. He can't even walk to Marine One by himself. His walk has gotten so bad that if you pay attention, he's surrounded by staff now. They won't let him because they don't want you to see
him falling again.
Well, they don't want you to see how bad his walk is. He's got a
He violated laws of physics. He was falling upstairs.
Upstairs.
How the heck does that happen?
You know, that's the other thing. If you watch, they have a Secret Service assigned to him now, a Secret Service agent who will walk behind him when he's coming down and upstairs. That's never been done. The Secret Service always stays out of the limelight. But now they have to follow this man down because they're afraid he's going to fall on his face at any given time.
Yeah, and hurt himself. He's hurt the country.
He's one slip away from a broken hip, and we all know what that means for someone with dementia.
What is that lady who shot her dog?
Oh my gosh. Christy Noem. Now I'm a fan of hers, but how stupid could she be?
I don't know that. All I heard was somehow she shot her dog for some reason.
Here's the thing.
Can you fill us in on this? I'm sure you've talked about this before.
I didn't get a chance to.
I want to know what the story is.
I'll tell you about it real quick. And then I'm going to bolt. Okay. You can talk more about guns. But, basically Christy Noem, the governor of South Carolina and South Dakota, and a great governor. I think she's awesome. She's got some past, everybody does.
Right.
But she's performed very well of late. She wants to be vice president. And up until yesterday, she was a top candidate for VP.
Oh my God.
But now she just released a book, and in the book she described, and I understand what she's doing. She wants to be looked at as, I'm as tough as any man. I can do what needs to be done when tough decisions need to be made.
Oh no.
And she was in a situation on the farm because she's a farm girl. She had a puppy and they were it was going to be a bird dog and it was aggressive and it was trying to bite people. And then at one point it got out of her truck and ran and ate a couple of chickens of her neighbors.
Oh, geez.
And so now here's the problem. She wanted to seem tough. So she said, I had to take the dog to a gravel pit and I shot it and she killed the dog. Now, I'm a dog lover, and most people are, and many people are, and I'm thinking, why didn't you just get her training? Get the dog some training, remove the dog from a situation, don't leave your windows down. I mean, there were other things to do. I don't know
would be an absolutely last resort.
Yeah, last resort is the issue. And there are situations when you have to put a dog down, an aggressive dog. There's situations, but there are better ways to do it than taking a shotgun and blowing the puppy's head off.
I know. But and it's a puppy too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a puppy. But so the fact that she's bragging about it in her book, I mean, Roger, she just shot her chances of the VP to smithereens like she did this dog.
I heard her husband got really scared when she suggested they try doggy style.
Well, he got really scared. he got real scared when she suggested they take a date down to the gravel pit. So
that's like if you watch Yellowstone, down to the train station,
the gravel pit. She did. That was her train station. Oh my gosh, Yellowstone must have been consulting her. So the gravel pit was apparently the train station. She didn't stop there though. There was another, and I don't remember, but it's in the book. But she took a second animal down there and shot it.
An aggressive goat or something?
With a shotgun.
Oh God.
And I am not judging on what she did because there are times when that's done. I don't think she did it the right way.
I don't think so. You gotta give a puppy a chance.
You gotta give a puppy a chance. I could never do that to a puppy.
No.
But I understand she's trying to be tough.
I would be firm and what some people might consider mean.
They might consider
mean. But I would make sure that puppy has the training
would learn.
Where it would not be dead.
Exactly. I couldn't do that.
And if I couldn't do it, I would offer it to somebody else who specializes in that kind of animals and see if they could do anything with it. Then if they couldn't, do you make that decision?
I wouldn't pull out a shotgun and But anyway, like I said, I understand she's trying to be tough, but oh my gosh, she just sunk her chances. Now,
has she never seen a John Wick movie? I mean, come on.
Apparently not. You know, I thought the same thing, Roger. The minute I saw this story, the first thing I said was, has she not seen John Wick?
And
what editor let her put this in the book?
I know. Someone who didn't care about her chances for politics.
It must have been maybe somebody who doesn't agree with her. I can't believe she did it. But anyway, the point is, her chances of becoming VP are gone.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I'll make this prediction on your show, Roger.
Okay.
The person who's probably going to be VP is going to be Nikki Haley. And a lot of people are going to be mad at that. And I myself am not happy about Nikki Haley, but I'm not upset if he chooses her. It's a smart move.
She's got
the money,
understand.
She's got the donors, and she's got the establishment.
And she'll bring voters with her.
She will.
And she'll bring the more moderate Republicans with her.
She will. She'll bring the establishment with her, even though she's not really an establishment up until running for president.
Really?
So there's going to be time for her to understand and learn Trump's ways if he does choose her. But I do think that
I don't know. I think Trump's going to come out of the blue with somebody no one ever thought of.
Maybe you're right, but
that's what he did with Mike Pence. No one even had them on his list.
But he chose Mike Pence because of the establishment.
Right. But he chose him. No one even had him on their list.
Yeah, I don't think they did either. If they did,
he came out of the blue. Yeah.
But I just think when you look at Trump needs money. They're bleeding him dry with the court cases. She's still getting.
Oh, isn't he still six points up in the poll?
He's climbing. He's climbing. But here's the thing.
Because I mean, even money can't buy their way out of watching Biden shit himself going up the stairs.
Of course, that's how he beat Hillary with less money. But here's the thing: they're bleeding him of money. That he's still going to need some money. But Nikki Haley, still getting 15 to 20% of the vote in the primaries that are going on. You're not seeing it in the news.
Yeah, I didn't know the primaries. I thought Trump had pretty much locked it up.
He has. But she's still on the ballot. So she's still getting votes. And if people are still voting for her, that's that never Trumper. And I think those people are sick. If you're a never Trumper out there and you're willing to sit by and let Biden get elected, then something's wrong with you. But
backing up and hitting the iceberg again.
But I do think Nikki Haley's at the top of his list, begrudgingly so. I don't think Trump wants it, but I think he understands it. Trump is a strategist.
If she understands he's in charge, and they can work together.
Believe me. Nobody works with Trump and doesn't understand he's in charge.
It's like you said before, no one gets the tap on the shoulder to be VP and says no.
Nobody.
Doesn't happen.
And if it's not her and they can figure out a way to do it, I think it'll be Ron DeSantis. You're about to see, and this is why
I thought that was not a possibility.
I thought it wasn't either, but they must have found a way around it because watch what happens. Ron DeSantis is about to go. I don't know where they're going to be.
Is he moving?
No, he's not. Well, I don't know. But I'm guessing this.
Spitballing here, but
I'll bet you.
Let's take a shot at
I'll
it.
I'll bet you in the next few weeks there's going to be some kind of Trump rally, and I'll bet you Ron DeSantis is standing with Trump, and I'll bet you they're standing together to test the optics and see how it goes. I would vote for them twice
if I could.
Me too.
Well, if I register as a Democrat, I can vote for them multiple times,
right? But I do believe the top two people are Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis.
Wow.
I think it's going to be one of those.
I mean, if we could get DeSantis in there, holy cow.
It would be the best, hands down, best pick ever.
And that would probably lock things up for the next 12 years easily.
I think it would.
Because
more than Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley will have a fight on her hands in 2028.
Right.
I think Ron DeSantis walks into the White House.
Yeah. It would be so – he'd already be used – he'd be there. Mm-hmm. People like him. He's got a military history that a lot of candidates haven't had in years.
His history is amazing. The only thing Ron DeSantis needs, he needs to lighten up on the campaign trail.
When was the last time we had a president with military history? Was it Bush?
Bush the second.
Right.
Junior.
W.
Although senior was also. No.
Yeah, right. But that was the last time, the most recent time.
The most recent.
And then I know Obama, Bush. Clinton.
Draft
Obama.
Draft Dodger.
Yeah. And even Trump. And Biden.
Trump with the military.
Was Biden in the military?
Not that I know of.
Yeah,
he'll tell you he was.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was serving in the Air Force while I was going to law school in top of my class.
Biden is the only president that will sit and tell you, I flew my F-18 Hornet over to do some bombing runs in the Middle East and then came back and made it to law school at night.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the guy that tells you he was brought up by Cubans, he was brought up by Puerto Ricans, he was brought up by the Irish, and he was brought up by the Jewish church, he was brought up by the synagogues, and he was brought up by the Muslim community, and then he was raised by the black community.
Of course he was.
I mean,
That's how he met Corn Pop.
How many lives has this guy had?
That's how he met Corn Pop.
Did you see the picture I sent out on the social media that they found corn pop?
Did they really find
corn pop? It was hilarious.
Oh my God, they
There's
found
a dude
pop.
Out there. He's a big Trump supporter. He's a black dude, big Trump supporter. He's all over social media. He was even on the Greg Gutfeld show. This dude put out a picture of him with some do-rag on his head with a box of sugar corn pops.
And he was eating the pops. That's hilarious.
And he did it. They put a picture of him next to Biden and said, "We found corn pop." Holy crap, that was funny. If you want to see it's out there somewhere.
There is something I realized that I found out something. I want to see if you can, you might be get down with this. Apparently, part of the Rainbow Coalition, I have found my niche in the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah, right.
The alphabet crowd, I found where I identify with.
Now we can join the alphabet soon.
Apparently, I am a lesboy. Now this is, in case you don't know, a boy, a male, a man, lesbian. It's someone that identifies as both a boy, a man, and a lesbian.
And a lesbian.
So I can identify with this.
Yeah.
This is my Rainbow Coalition identifier here. Right. I'm a lesboy.
You can get down with that box.
That's right. Now, that box. All the boxes. That checks all the boxes I want to be in.
All the boxes.
Oh my God.
Bad host.
Should we stop now?
We should probably stop.
Oh my God.
And on that note, I'm going to leave the gun talk to Roger.
Oh my God. Yeah, but you got to realize that. I mean, the only problem with this is trying to convince the other lesbians of it. That's been my biggest problem
from
day one.
And that's tough, Roger, but
it's a tough,
you know what?
It's a tough road.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yep. And I'm willing to do this. All right, dude. You need to take off, I guess. You guys
have a great one, and talk more about reciprocity. That's a good thing that everybody should learn about.
Reciprocity. Yes. And the judge in New York who says the Second Amendment does not exist in her courtroom. Now, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I guess we have to get Mark the Shark in here to cover this and decide how this would be done. But what could you do if a judge decides to ignore part of the law that's clearly stated and has been in place for over 240 years. How would you fight this? Can you just claim the judge is biased? Could you, who do you file a complaint with? How would you do that? I don't even know, but I would certainly, as a defense lawyer in this case, I would certainly have to decide, you know what? Got to do something here to get this judge off my case, because she obviously is not abiding by the law. She's violating the law, violating my rights by telling me my rights don't exist in her courtroom. That is, I can't believe that's allowed to happen and that's legal, and they're able to put this man in jail based on what this judge said, even though she's violating his rights. I mean, it's clear cut. There's no ambiguity here at all. She says the Second Amendment does not exist in her courtroom. How can that possibly be? I mean, could you imagine if private businesses did this, decided, you know what? The right to search and seizure doesn't exist in our store, in our business. We can search and seize anything we want to off you anytime, day or night. You have no privacy if you work for this company. How can that possibly be a way to have the law exist? I don't get it. Anyway, I'm going to come back and cover a few more issues with this and the gentleman who's in trouble here right after we get back from these messages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/America's Web Radio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@americaswebradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm back. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio. And right before we left for the break, we were talking about a judge in New York who was blatantly ignoring somebody's Second Amendment rights. Clearly stated. It wasn't that she was just ignoring it. She clearly stated the Second Amendment did not exist in her courtroom. And I'm just, I mean, I am literally just shocked that this even took place. Are we becoming a third world country? Can any judge just decide that, I don't want to abide by that law today, so I'm just going to ignore that and I'm going to prosecute you based on some other law that I made up or decided I want to agree with, even though the Second Amendment is clearly the law of the land. I hope somebody, there's got to be some way. I don't know, because I'm going to have to, if anybody's a lawyer out there, you need to call in and tell me how you can get a judge taken off the bench if she's violating federal law. I mean, or do they just kind of let that go and say, well, it's her bench, she can do what she wants. I don't know. But it would seem to me like they would call for a mistrial in this case and tell this guy, we need to find a judge who is going to obey the law, who is going to understand the law does exist. And you can't just pick and choose which laws you want to enforce and which laws you don't. Now, I would imagine, I'm not saying it happened, but I would imagine this lady's probably all pro-drug use. She's probably all for marijuana use. She's probably all for ignoring immigration laws and not working with the Border Patrol or immigration on border control. She probably has no interest in doing that. She probably takes on a completely liberal aspect of ruling, or not even ruling, but she's making laws from the bench. She's presiding over her bench, not looking at the laws that she's supposed to decide right or wrong. She's just making her own laws as she goes. And I just can't understand how this could possibly happen. I mean, this guy was buying legally made stuff, following all the laws and manufacturing what he was doing for his own personal use. And most of the weapons, he said, were never even used. He just did it for the fun of completing something. He just wanted to get the machining skill or get the understanding of how things worked. He didn't sell anything because that would be a clear violation of firearms law. You cannot manufacture a weapon without a manufacturer's license and resell it. Anything you manufacture as a citizen must remain in your possession. Now, if you do decide to sell it, you have to stamp numbers on it and it has to go through all the federal and state requirements for selling. But to manufacture for your own use or own purposes or own ownership, there is no law against that, except apparently in New York, because they decided, or this judge decided, that they don't care about the Second Amendment. So if you live in New York, just realize one reason why you have First Amendment rights is because the Second Amendment does exist. And who's to say the next time they say, oh, we don't care about the First Amendment in this courtroom. Just imagine when that comes up and your lawyer is hamstrung because he can't do anything to defend you because the First Amendment doesn't exist in that judge's court. Oh, this has just got me so angry at this, the fact that she does this and got away with it, and this guy is still sitting in a prison rotting for not doing anything illegal. And it's not like he had a rap sheet. He had never been in any legal trouble prior to this. And he was following every law that he could find on federal building of weapons and the federal laws that regard them as far as being within the law. He did every attempt to do this. But instead, the prosecution decided to paint this guy as a dangerous individual who was building dangerous firearms in his basement. So it was unbelievable that they do this. And it's unbelievable that this guy is being held like this and being denied his rights. Like I say, go into a courtroom and have the courtroom say, we don't believe in Miranda rights here. I don't care if you read your rights or not. Doesn't matter here. We don't have the Miranda in this courtroom. We don't have First Amendment rights in this courtroom. We don't have Fourth Amendment rights in this courtroom. They don't exist here. Oh, I just can't believe she actually said that out of her own mouth with her own voice and expected no one to notice that this was just a ridiculous horror of misjustice on this guy's part, especially since he never committed any crimes. He never did anything wrong. He's never even fired these weapons. He was just building them because he was an amateur machinist and he picked up a hobby during COVID.
You know, and what better time to pick it up than during COVID when lawlessness was running rampant, people were running in the streets, you know, burning buildings, overturning police cars, throwing Molotov cocktails. But that was fun. That's okay. That's within the realm of okay. That's protected under their First Amendment rights, I suppose. But building a weapon that never saw the light of day outside of an apartment that where he was building them, that is a problem. That's where we need to go after somebody. Especially since it's a software engineer who never had any legal issues in his entire life. Now, there is a GoFundMe for this guy to help with his legal expenses, although I do not have the link right now. Let me just see quickly. I find his name. Okay. Brooklyn Man. Dexter Taylor. So if you look this up, if you can find this, if you send me an email at roger@americaswebradio.com, I will mention this the next time I'm on the air. Dexter Taylor from Brooklyn, New York is the guy being charged in a courtroom where the Second Amendment doesn't exist. And he got convicted because they were not able to bring up any Second Amendment defense. Every time they did, the judge would stop them. Tell them that was not allowed to be brought up, was not allowed to be used. So she was setting precedent as ignoring constitutional law in order to get this guy convicted. So it's just, I mean, this just seems horrible to act. This is something they make movies about where, you know, an injustice is done at such a huge and high level that no one can believe this would actually ever happen. But yet here it is in Brooklyn. Dexter Taylor is being held in Rikers Prison for doing nothing that violated the law. He never broke the law in any way. He never broke federal law in any way, and yet he's being held in a prison right now waiting for an appeal, I hope, that goes to a judge that realizes the Second Amendment does exist anywhere on American soil. Because apparently this judge just makes up her own rules. I would think she would have to be held accountable for this. She stood there and swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. She's not doing her job. She's violating his rights. She needs to be brought up on charges. There's no way this lady should be allowed to sit on the bench. It is unbelievable that this is actually happening. But that's the kind of world we live in today, folks. So be aware. You know, this is the kind of thing where you get into court and you would just be wide-eyed, mouth open, going, what do you mean the Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom? Does this courtroom not exist in the United States? Is it not a U.S. court? Is it not a court located on American soil? Apparently it doesn't matter. Her courtroom has special privileges. Like, I don't know how many of you would know this, but there was an argument once in a courtroom where the lawyer argued that grits cook the same way no matter whose stove they're on, and that magic grits cannot be cooked in 5 minutes and take 20 minutes to make. But, you know, you're going to violate the laws of physics. You're going to violate the laws of the Constitution in order to get your way or to prosecute somebody who had no business being prosecuted in the first place. It's crazy. It is unbelievable this is happening in our country now. So just remember, just because you think you're on the right side of the law, just because the law supports you, does not mean the judge is going to allow you to live by American law. Apparently, I don't know what law she's living by. I don't know what law she's trying to enforce or what she's trying to do. But apparently, she does not know that in America, the constitutional right of the Second Amendment exists. And there's no way to stop that from existing unless we change it. And as far as I know, it has not been changed. So, if you can help Dexter, by all means, look this up. Dexter Taylor is his name, and he needs to be a hero. We need to make this guy into somebody who will be a spokesperson for Second Amendment rights. I mean, to be put into jail, he didn't throw a Molotov cocktail at a building. He didn't help overturn police cars. He didn't assault police officers. He did nothing that was illegal according to the Constitution, ATF rules. None of those were violated. No laws were violated except for he happened to be in New York in a courtroom where the judge decided the Second Amendment didn't exist in her courtroom. So I can't say enough about this. But anyway, I'm going to move on from there. I wanted to talk a little bit. Last week I was talking about pistols and how you decide on what kind you want, go sizes. Now I decided, you know what? If you have your pistol, you picked it out, you're ready to go. Now you said, you know what? I got one or two pistols. I want to get into a rifle. I want to see what kind of rifle I want to buy. Now, when you do this, depending on where you live, there are maybe certain restrictions. If you're living in an unrestricted state, chances are for a first rifle, unless you're buying it for a specific purpose, there are two kind of rifles you will most likely buy. One will be a 22 caliber, semi-automatic, lever action, something like that, just for target practice, for plinking, for learning rifle techniques. The second would be a defensive weapon. Now, as a defensive weapon, as far as the first rifle goes, nothing beats the AR-15 platform. It's available in a variety of calibers. It's available with accessories available from, you know, anything you could possibly ask for. That accessory is going to be available. It's the most customizable gun on the planet, without a doubt. There's nothing that has more accessories, more choices, more ways to individualize this weapon than the AR-15. And you get started with caliber. If you're going for a first one, I'd recommend a 5.56. Some people say 223. Now, keep in mind, if you have a 5.56 chambered weapon, you can fire 223 in it. However, if you have a 223 chambered weapon, you are not supposed to fire 5.56 in it. The pressures are too high. The chamber dimensions are a little bit too tight and doesn't work properly. However, you can fire 223 in a 5.56 chamber and still expect a very good performance. So that's something to consider. So you got your rifle, then you're going to want to get extra magazines for it, and you want to get some training with it, of course. But the AR-15 is semi-automatic, so you don't have to activate any sort of action or bolt action, lever action, you know, rolling block action. You don't have to do anything to get the next round in the chamber. Once it's chambered and ready to go, it will fire till the magazine's empty. Magazines for this gun are plentiful and inexpensive. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to get magazines for AR-15 for $10 or less. And that's some of the best magazines. That's not the cheapest possible ones. That's some of the very best ones are about, I think they retail for maybe $15, but they're available almost everywhere for $10 to $12. That's the best ones in my opinion. There are some people who will argue, but the fact that the military has contracts to manufacture standard AR-15 magazines for them, and they allow units to order these other magazines, they have requisition order numbers for those other magazines, especially for specialized units. They prefer the other magazine over the standard issue government magazines. And those are the Magpuls. Now, they're not paying me. They don't give me any free stuff. I'm just pointing out my opinion, which this whole radio show is my opinion. So if you don't like it, you can tune in somewhere else or write me an email, roger@americaswebradio.com. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me what magazines you like better. Or tell me what rifle you think would be better. Like I say, if you're not going to get a 22 rifle, I would say, you know, a semi-automatic 22 rifle is the first rifle, which would be good, especially if you're a younger person and an AR-15 is not something you'd be able to use very much, or if it's too expensive and you want to get inexpensive practice with a rifle before you get into something bigger. A 22 long rifle caliber rifle is probably the best way to get rifle practice, to learn about rifle shooting, to learn about, you know, basic things you need to know, such as, you know, how to sight one in, how to shoot it, how to operate it. And a rifle is generally is almost always more accurate than a pistol. Why would you say, why is a rifle more accurate? Well, for one, a rifle has 3 points of contact with your body. When you have 3 points of contact, you have more stability than when you have 2 points of contact and more than when you have 1 point of contact. Okay, you're going to ask, what's the difference? How do I know if I have 3 points of contact? Okay, a pistol has 1 or 2 points of contact. 1 point of contact, you're holding the gun with one hand. 1 point of contact. 2 points of contact, you have two hands on the pistol. Now, if you wanted to get a third point of contact while shooting a pistol, you would rest it on top of something or lean it up against something. Not recommended to lean against something, because as the pistol recoils, it would scratch it up or damage it or cause a problem or prevent the slide from operating properly. But if you're sitting at a bench, you could set the pistol down, have two hands on it, and have it contacting the top of the bench, and that would be 3 points of contact. But a rifle, no matter how you use it, as long as you use it shouldered, like you're supposed to, with two hands on it, you can be sitting, standing, squatting, kneeling, prone position, and you will have at least 3 points of contact. Now, in a prone position with a bipod or a rest, you have 3 points of contact or more because you could wrap your other hand around the back stock to hold it with both hands on it and the rest. You'd be standing there holding it against your shoulder and give you a fourth point of contact. That would be the most accurate way to shoot a weapon. Shoulder, two hands, and a rest. So a pistol, like I say, you can add the rest and get 3 points of contact, but you're never going to get as many as with a rifle. And if you have any doubt as to how this works, take two fingers, put them on top of a table, extended with your hands, and you can move them back and forth. Put three fingers down, it doesn't move. It's like a tripod. It's stable. You're not going to be able to move it around as long as all three contact points are held tight. So a rifle is going to be inherently more accurate than any pistol. So you've got your pistols. Now you're looking for your rifle. And a .22 is a good one to start with if you just want to get into it to start. And it's inexpensive to shoot, so you can get lots of practice with it. Now, as a self-defense weapon, it is minimal. And I know people are going to say, yeah, poachers use it all the time. They make headshots. And that's fine. It is deadly. I'm not saying a .22 long rifle is not deadly. However, what most people are taught in self-defense situations is center mass. You want to shoot between the top of the chest and the top of the pelvis. That's your area. That's your main points of aim when you're shooting in self-defense. You want a main body hit. That's going to be most likely to disable an opponent. And to be honest, from there, you want to take the top half. Bottom of the rib cage to bottom of the neck is where you're most likely to have fully effective one-shot stops with a decent-sized cartridge. Now, a .22 can do this, but it's much less likely to be effective. .22 will not necessarily penetrate through bone as well as a high-powered rifle will, as well as a center-fire powered rifle. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but an AR-15 chambered in 5.56 is still a .22 caliber bullet. However, it's a heavier bullet. It's usually jacketed. It's put together in a manner that makes it stronger. And it's going at three times the speed of a .22 long rifle. Or at least twice the speed, even of the ultra-high velocity .22s. It's still going at twice the velocity of the ultra-high velocity .22s. And whenever you get over 2,000 feet per second, you get hydrostatic shock, which causes more damage to anything that has water in it. And your body is mostly water, so it's going to get hydrostatic shock when firing at velocities of over 2,000 feet per second. So just consider that. And if you want a defensive weapon, the AR-15 is, like I say, the most customizable. And right now is probably the lowest prices on AR-15 rifles I have seen since 2019, since before COVID. Now, during 2020, when all the riots were going on, all the civil disobedience, all the taking over of streets was happening, gun prices went through the roof. They soared. Why? Because people were scared, and they realized with all this talk about defunding the police departments, they were the only thing that would stand between them and their property, them and their family, them and themselves to defend themselves. So gun sales went through the roof. And not just for people who are, I guess you'd say, gun enthusiasts. It went through the roof for everybody. Liberals, people who were not necessarily in favor of owning guns, all of a sudden had an interest in going out and getting a gun that they never had before. And that was because they realized the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And you can't change that theory in any way. There's no way to say you're going to stop a good guy or bad guy any other way easily. Now, granted, you can set up a pit in your front yard, have sharpened sticks put in it, you know, and have an electric fence with enough voltage to kill somebody. There are ways, but one-on-one, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. You know, that's the easiest, most effective way, and it's the easiest to learn. Once you learn that skill, your family can be safer, you can be safer, your property can be better protected, your dog can be safer. Well, in most cases, except for Christy Gnome, oh my goodness, because dogs don't have guns. They have to be protected by people with guns. So be that guy. Be the guy who protects your pet with a gun. That would be what I would do Like I say, John Wick, it was such a love story. Loved it. It was fantastic. But anyway, so go ahead and look at your AR-15 rifle. Decide what caliber you want it in, if you want it in something other than a 5.56. Now, if you live in a rural area, you may want to step it up and go into the AR-10 area. This is a semi-automatic weapon that fires a bigger, stronger, heavier bullet that's more suitable for hunting big game. Usually a .308, a 6.5 Creedmoor, a .243 Winchester. There are a multitude of other calibers that fire on the larger frame AR platform. And an AR-10 is actually a bigger AR platform than is the AR-15. Even though it doesn't seem like it should be, it is. And the AR-10 platform, now these designations, AR-10, AR-15, these are all from the Armalite company, thus the AR. Now granted, not almost every gun you see is going to be a made in likeness of the AR platform. It's not actually an AR weapon. AR is Armalite, and there's probably thousands of other companies that make similar weapons. And because Armalite gave the rights to the U.S. military, they got the right to contract other people to manufacture this weapon for them. And I don't know if there were patents that expired or patents that were released to let everybody use, but the AR-15 and AR-10, AR platform is probably one of the most prolific in the United States, and I would venture to say around the world. A lot of other countries use AR-15s or M16s, fully automatic military version of an AR-15. An AR-15 is not fully automatic. It is semi-automatic. It is not an assault weapon. It is a semi-automatic rifle. Big difference. Assault weapon has select fire capabilities, full auto, semi-auto, safe, sometimes a three-shot burst, all of which require a special permit, special licensing, and approval from the ATF, and what is called a tax stamp, which is literally a stamp. It is a stamp that shows you paid a tax to get the weapon. However, in 1986, with the Hughes Act, acquiring any fully automatic weapons manufactured after 1986 was made illegal, unless you're a dealer. So, and that was passed, I believe, under President Reagan. So, there you go. Republicans passing more gun laws. Frustrating at best. Disturbing at worst. So you got your AR-15 platform. You're going to get extra magazines. You're going to get ammo. You're going to have a holster for your pistol. You're going to have a sling for your rifle. These are what you want for self-defense. Now say, if you live in a more rural area, you may want to get an AR-10. Bigger caliber, stronger bullets, able to defend you from possibly wild animals more so than wild people. Most people can be stopped by a smaller bullet than can wild animals because wild animals don't understand what's happening to them. But anyway, so you got your rifle, and then you want to look at a third weapon. You're building your arsenal, you have a pistol, you have a rifle. What do you want next? Now, most people are going to tell you, I probably would agree with this, is you want some sort of a shotgun. Now, a shotgun can come in a variety of different actions, semi-automatic, pump action, lever action, double barrel, single barrel. All these are good shotguns. Depending on what you're going to use it for, a pump action is the least expensive multi-shot shotgun there is. It's the easiest to get one. As cheap as possible, and a pump-action shotgun is the easiest way to have a repeater. Semi-automatics, even faster shooting, don't require as much action on your part. Generally, reliable based on the gun's design. There are many more gun designs coming out now that are more reliable with a variety of different types of ammo. That's one thing. The shotgun ammo is hugely varied. There's so many different choices, so many different levels of shot, slugs, incendiary bullets. You can put almost anything in a shotgun because it is a huge round. And as long as it doesn't exceed chamber pressure, you should be fine. There was a guy even who made a spacer to be able to fire 50 caliber bullets out of a shotgun. Now, granted, these were not coming out of the shotgun at the same velocity that come out of a 50 caliber rifle. So the bullet itself would probably not be near as effective as if it was coming out of a rifle, coming out of a shotgun. But the fact that it could actually fire it, I thought was pretty impressive. But a shotgun has a huge variety of ammo. You have things for everything from snakes, birds, to hunt deer. any kind of hunting almost can be done with a shotgun with the right ammo, the right barrel length, things like that. And a lot of shotguns can be customized tremendously, whether you want them for tactical purposes, you want them for hunting purposes, you want something for self-defense purposes. All these can be had. And honestly, with a pump action shotgun, it's easy to change barrels to go for different missions or different requirements, different purposes. Now with a semi-automatic, there are barrel changes that can be done there as well. However, they are a little bit more complicated, but generally not too bad. But pump actions are known for being able to have interchangeable barrels, and different barrels can offer you different chamberings. Standard shotgun shell 2 3/4 inches long will cover almost any type of requirement you have of it. Self-defense, hunting, personal protection, whatever you want, that's probably the way that needs to be done. 2 3/4 inch shell. If you want more power, they make 3 inch shells. Now you have to make sure that your shotgun has a 3-inch chamber in it before you can fire 3-inch shells. Now the advantage of having a 3-inch chamber is you can fire 3-inch shells and 2 3/4 inch shells and anything smaller. With the advent of the new mini shells, I believe they're like an inch and a half, and you can stack them in a lot of pump action shotguns and have them function. Now with the semi-automatic, you load mini shotgun, mini shells, you have to cycle that action every time independently by yourself, by hand. It doesn't develop enough pressure or gas to function in a semi-automatic shotgun. So that is one disadvantage. Although the semi-automatic with standard shells shoots faster, can lay down more fire than the pump action shotgun, the pump action shotgun has more versatility with it. You have more range of shells. You don't have to have as precise a pressure range as you do with semi-automatic weapons. Because semi-automatic weapons with shotguns are generally gas operated, which means it siphons gas from the chamber to cycle the action, or they are recoil operated, where the recoil from the shell cycles the action to eject the old shell and pick up the new one. And when you're doing this, you have a variety of shells you can use, but you are more limited than you are with a pump action shotgun. So consider that. If you want something that has the most utility, a pump action shotgun will give you everything you need, allow you to use almost any shell out there that fits within your chamber. Like say, 2 3/4 inch chamber, 2 3/4 or less is good. 3 inch chamber, 3 inches or less is fine. So just keep that in mind when buying a shotgun. If you find one with a 3-inch chamber, there you go. You can shoot nearly any shell in a 3-inch chamber shotgun. Now, they do have specialty loads that are 3.5-inch shells. Those are generally reserved for turkey, duck hunting, things where birds have longer ranges, and you have to get into that. So be aware when you're shopping. If you don't know, do your research. Ask a friend who knows. Find out before you buy something. And as always, get some training with it. Learn how to use it. Don't buy it, stick it, load it, and stick it in a closet and never fire it. I don't want you to be surprised when you fire it for the first time as to how it feels or what it was like. You need to go through a box of shells. Now, the thing is with shotguns, most indoor ranges do not allow you to fire shotguns unless they're shooting solid bullets, which are called slugs. And to practice, you generally need a place outside to be able to practice with a shotgun shooting shot, because what happens is it's a bunch of small little round pellets that fire all at the same time, and they vary in size from a couple millimeters on up to 33 caliber for the double-aught buckshot, which is a very popular self-defense load. And with a 2 3/4 inch shotgun, you can load nearly anything in it. And if you have pump action, you can cycle anything in it as long as you fully function the action between shots. Semi-automatics are faster. They may be more effective for high-speed shooting, more accuracy by not having to cycle the action between shots. You can maintain your grip and position on it, but you're limited as to what shells you can use in it and still have the action function. So you have your shotgun, you got your AR-15 rifle, you got your handgun, whatever kind you decide to get. That should be your first three weapons of purchasing guns. If I had to give an honorable mention to something, I would say 22 caliber rifle for sure, or possibly a 22 caliber pistol. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope we had a good time today. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.